This is CliffCentral.com.
Very nice. Goldfish, talk to me.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, all right. Do you want to hear Clint from the Vols wife? We'll get to that too. He was his girlfriend. He was talking to her about the Kardashians. And it is quite long, but it might be worth listening to a little bit of that. Good morning. If you've just woken up, this is Cliff Central. It's a Friday morning. Got lots to talk about in the news. There's plenty going on. Jason Greer, the host of The Bachelor South Africa, will join us in a short while. I'm so happy this guy's got a show like this. He's worked hard behind the scenes for years on television. And TV people are obviously so dense, they never saw that this guy should have been hosting a show years ago already. And now he's doing the show, thank God. Someone woke up. Dumb TV people finally paid attention to some talent right in their midst. He was there, ready to go. He was saying, look, I'm here, I'm available, I'm professional, I know what I'm doing. Now he's hosting the show, so we'll talk to him. Very exciting. All right, Meghan Markle has reverted to her Hollywood ways with a badass baby shower in America's most expensive hotel suite. I wonder how the Queen feels about that.
Well, I mean, will she really get to hear about it? Because this is all sort of reports.
Oh, okay.
You know, as is always with the royals.
Oh.
But how's this article? It's very professionally written. It's on,
how's this article?
All right, tell us.
Leanne Moore reverted to her East ways.
So how's this article, hey?
Travel and leisure. The first sentence, I thought I was having a stroke. I had to read it twice. Says Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, celebrated the impending arrival of her first child with husband Prince William earlier this week.
Oh, I got that wrong.
I'm like, what? Anyway, she had...
Jeez, Kate will claw her eyes out.
It was the first of two baby showers that she's going to have. So it was with all of her friends in New York City. So it was very sort of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Which hotel?
It doesn't say the name. It just says that it's a $75,000 a night suite, which comes with five bedrooms, four fireplaces.
The Mark Hotel.
Oh, the Mark.
Mm-hmm. Six bathrooms, two powder rooms, and a massive 2,500 square foot terrace overlooking Central Park.
Oh, the Mark.
So it was her friends who threw the baby shower because somebody else throws it for you.
Serena and Amal Clooney.
Yes.
Oh, she's got celebrity friends.
Oh, that's right. The Mark Hotel. There we go. Yeah. At the penthouse suite. And they all got goodie bags. In this case, one bag. It was actually a suitcase. It's called an away suitcase. It's like the latest thing.
Yeah.
It's one of those that can charge your phone and do all of those sort of things.
Sorry,
for you.
Leanne, did you say there was two powder rooms?
Yes.
Not one, but two.
Jesus, that's a lot of cocaine.
I don't know if you need cocaine at a baby shower, let alone a room for it.
So these 17 pieces of luggage from the brand were rolled into the hotel. They are like aluminium, and they have made of premium materials and all of this sort of thing.
And they charge your phone and your laptop.
Yes.
Brilliant.
So, it's from Away. That's what the brand's called. And it's from their Alchemy collection. It was a huge thing. And it's not very royal at all. So I'm not sure what the Queen will say.
Well,
you don't take these gifts. It's very common to have these gifts from brands.
Yes, exactly.
You know what? I'm always I'm blown away by how people who are rich and have the money to buy anything they want get free stuff. It's just the strangest.
They just get richer.
Yeah, but it's the strangest anachronism. Now, I know that if Meghan Markle's using a certain phone, someone sees that it sells probably a little more. It's like her wedding dress designer is now, she's too busy. She can't make anyone else's dress ever again.
Yeah.
She's too busy. She's making too much money. And I get that. So obviously there's the idea that these famous people, but that they influence things far more than everybody else. But Serena, Amal Clooney, I mean, that must have been some high-profile baby shower.
Jessica Mulroney, fashion designer Misha Nonu, Sarge Normand, her wedding hairstylist, publicist Celine Cavarani.
I've never heard of those last
week. These all sound like great salads.
Yeah, they do, huh? They sound like something on the menu.
The chairperson of NBC Universal Cable Entertainment.
And then I also found it a bit weird that Gayle King was there.
Oh, Gayle King's everywhere.
How? But you invite Gayle King, and not an Oprah.
Gayle King's the new 6 degrees, right, of separation. She's like the 2 degrees of separation. Gayle King knows everybody. Gayle King is the linchpin. She's the hub of everything. Everything connects out from Gayle King.
She used to just be Gayle. Now she's Gayle King.
Oh, yes. No, no. She's a very powerful woman.
There were always rumors that and Oprah were partners.
Mm-mm. Was that never true? This road. We are not going to disrespect the big O like that.
Why is being lesbian
because you are saying that the big O lies and the big O never lies.
Gayle was giving her a big O.
Stop it. Stop it. This sounds like homophobia from Ben and Leanne.
Not at all.
No, I'm saying
we're just acknowledging that Oprah is empowered to make her own choices in life. Well, she's got Stedman's balls to kick around when she wants.
She also makes decisions for other people, decides what car they should drive by leaving keys under their seat, mm-hmm. and plenty of other things. But you know what? Good for Gayle. So she was there as well. Okay.
And in a bit of another royal update, just a brief synopsis of what Samantha Markle has been tweeting these days.
Well, I guess she was royal. She wasn't at the baby shower, was she?
No. And you know she's scorned by that.
Imagine someone trying to wheel her in there and she just get pasted with like pastries.
And by the way, literally wheeled because Samantha is in a wheelchair. We have to point that out. Not being nasty, just being factual. The half brother of Meghan Markle is now drunk again. He's known for his alcoholic behavior and going out and smashing
people. But that's
what
alcoholics do. They get drunk again.
Yeah. Yes. Thomas Markle Jr. And he's going out and saying things about their family. And Samantha is trying her best to uphold the little dignity of the Markle family that
remains.
Yes.
This is like when the whole salt cellar, you know, when you're about to put salt in your food and the lid falls off and all the salt pours out. And you're like, I can rescue this food.
So her statement is, this alcoholic mule needs to stop lying and mudslinging.
Why, her own brother, a mule?
Why am I the only one out there with pictures of her and with her over lifespan? This is her Meghan Markle. He only has two, a few when she was small. Shut up, Tom Markle. Let's not forget this is the bonehead that wrote a letter to the Queen that said, please don't kill my sister like you did Diana. Oh. His brain is so alcohol saturated, he doesn't know which way is up. Time for that drunk tank again.
Jesus. My sister tweeted that about me. I think our relationship would be pretty much finished.
That would be it.
And then yesterday she quoted a tweet that said, always remember who was there for you when no one else was. And she says, yes, this needs to be on a billboard in the UK. Hashtag Markle.
Wow.
Fascinating life.
What a great family. I've just got to say again, if you're thinking of joining the royal family and you come from anything nearly as bad as Meghan Markle's family, you've still got a shot.
There's hope.
No, I don't think so. Oh. Can't be saved.
No, it's just, these people are all part of they're married into the royal family now.
Sure.
When they have a huge big party next time, they got to invite these guys. I think it would be brilliant.
Well, Samantha's also quite busy.
Oh,
because
she
was called over 50, pale and stale by a journalist. So she says she's writing a new sitcom called Pale and Stale.
Oh,
making money anyway.
Well, she's destined to finally get her show.
I hope so. I would love to watch that. That would be more interesting than watching the wedding. Dudu Mieni and Noseweek. I know we don't do politics on a Friday, but this is quite funny. Noseweek magazine, you know, they publish regular investigative journalist pieces. Her name was all over the news. And they did find Dudu Mieni hiding in a government building where they were told the Jacob Zuma Foundation doesn't even pay rent. The KZN Sharks board refused to confirm the rental. Which shark are they protecting? So apparently Dudu Mieni has an office at the Sharks board, which she runs the Jacob Zuma Foundation from, and they don't pay rent. Just thought that was interesting. No more politics. It's Friday. All right. What else is going on in the news?
So I think the story is so cute.
Okay.
What is it? Come on, tell us.
Scientists have just solved the mystery of why zebras have stripes by making horses wear zebra costumes.
Where is the story going?
What?
So no one has ever really known why zebras have stripes. And it's the first question a five-year-old will ask you when they see one. Why does it have stripes? No one knows.
It's for camouflage.
How can black and white stripes?
I'll tell you how.
They stick out like a sore thumb.
No, because when all the zebras are together and they're all those stripes, it's too much for the eyes. And for a predator, it's hard to discern one zebra from the herd. So what it does is it puts, as long as they all stay together, it creates this enormous optical thing that's a very big distraction.
So you think it confuses big animals like lions?
Well, it confuses predators who are going to try and pick off any of them that separate themselves from the rest.
They're saying it's not the big animals that it's confusing, it's parasites.
Really?
Horse flies.
What? Really? Instantly itchy.
Yeah, I know, I'm scratching all over. So, to set up the experiment, the researchers at University of Bristol School of Biological Sciences used video analysis on tabanid horse flies and captive zebras and domestic horses. At a distance, the zebra stripes made no difference to the horse flies because they began circling them and circling the horses and the zebras. However, when the horse flies got closer to the zebras, they failed to slow down, so they couldn't land. They just seemed to fly over the stripes or they bump into them and fall off.
So what, can't flies see stripes?
Yes. Pardon?
Can't flies see stripes?
No, they can't. They can, but it confuses them.
Leanne,
just like I am now.
Are you smelling popcorn now and burnt toast?
They don't know when to stop, so they can't judge distance. They fly towards the stripes, and they just keep going, or they fly into the animal.
Yes, they smash into the zebras the whole time.
In the words of your father, what are flies?
Bloody stupid.
Wow, all right. We learn something new every day. Sure.
A lot of successful landings experienced by the horses, but none by the zebras. And then the horses.
So now,
in their pajama striped outfits.
They got the same thing with the flies?
Yeah, same thing.
And then the question is, the team who found this out, whose great grand idea was it to do this? Someone left home.
I'd love to know.
Got to the office and
I'd like to know who the scientist is. Are we going to spend $100 million on trying to figure out why flies?
It doesn't look like $100 million experiment.
Okay, fine. 500,000.
But they are thinking now of putting these suits on horses to protect them from horse flies.
Okay.
I think that's quite clever.
If it works, that could save, you know, the whole equestrian world could save probably millions. So maybe it's worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Apparently, a woman died and 23 other people fell ill after eating at a Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah, I was about to tell you this.
Yes,
go on, Ben.
Yeah.
A place called Riff.
Mm-mm. Where's this?
It's
Spain.
Yeah, it's the mass poisoning.
Yes.
Good Lord. I do, a part of me kind of goes, oh, well, these pretentious restaurants, they're so worried about creating this visual and olfactory and taste experience that maybe they don't wipe the counters and clear away the salmonella.
In this case, it wasn't that so much. This woman ordered a rice and morcella fungi dish.
Ooh, the treacherous morcello mushroom.
She then started suffering reported bouts of vomiting and diarrhea and then died on Sunday.
Oh, imagine that's the worst way to die. You've literally just shat yourself dead.
And vomited yourself. Oh.
Her husband and young son suffered mild symptoms as well, although they've recovered. And since then, 21 other people claim to have fallen ill after eating there.
Yeah, so it's got a very powerful hydrazine toxin. So normally what you do is you dehydrate it, dry it out completely, and then you rehydrate it with either water or milk before thoroughly cooking it.
That's scary.
It is.
It's like quite a risky dish. I mean, like, what is the real benefit of having a morcello mushroom?
Yeah.
Okay, so you might die, but what's the upside? Is the upside big enough that you might want to sort of balance it with maybe death?
No. Just please don't eat
it. Taking it too far.
You know, mushrooms, the only ones that you should eat are those
Well, porcini mushrooms. No, they're plenty, man.
No, I don't know.
You should never eat mushrooms, Gareth. There's no nutritional value
shiitake
in mushrooms.
Shiitake mushrooms, button mushrooms.
Did you say what kind?
Shiitake.
Shiitakes.
Shiitake.
Yes.
But there's no nutritional value in a mushroom. It's not good for you in any way. It's just a thing people eat for why?
It tastes good.
So you can put butter on it. Well,
so
just
really
butter.
Has no nutritional no. value?
No, it's a fungus.
A mushroom is just a waste of time. Unless they're magic, don't have them.
I tell you, I had some mushrooms once. Just the most beautiful mushrooms in the sauce.
Have a sauce.
So nice. Mushrooms. Mmm.
I used to hate them, but I like them now. Mmm.
But the shiitake ones, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
Shiitake.
And these ones are obviously to be avoided at all costs.
Yes.
The Morcella.
Do not eat the Morcella mushroom.
Or this woman called Morcella.
Maybe that's her name.
No, her name was Maria Jesus Fernandez Calvao.
Yes.
Good Lord.
And she was celebrating her husband's birthday. Well, that's rough, though. Huh?
That is rough. And she
rough
died.
To go to riff.
In Valencia.
Valencia. All right, quickly. Apparently, if you own one of those old Disney VHS tapes, you could be sitting on some serious money.
Oh, wow.
Do we all know what a VHS tape is?
Okay, let me just help the millennials. So before we had DVDs, which I know are a long time ago, and before we could just press a button on a remote or type in something on a laptop, people used to record on tape.
On an actual physical tape.
And you would go to a video store and you would rent or buy videos from the video store. And the videos were on VHS. It was a big tape. The size of a laptop.
Yeah.
That you would insert into a machine. It would go. And then it would rewind. And you'd have to fast forward. And then you'd press play.
And you would always have to rewind it after you'd watched it.
That's right.
So it was ready for the next person.
And when you rented a video from a place, you'd always have to rewind it.
That's what.
Please rewind.
That's what I just said, Ben.
Jesus Christ. Are you also having a stroke?
Yeah.
Can you smell burnt toast?
It's contagious this morning.
Good Lord. All right. So VHS tapes. So now what would you get for a Disney one?
Okay. But they have to – don't like think that you've hit the jackpot just because you've got a few Disney tapes.
Yeah. Especially if you pirated them by recording.
In particular, they're the Black Diamond collection.
Oh.
So on the spine of the video cover, you can actually see
Kenny Kunene's version.
A black diamond.
Oh,
like Kenny Kunene.
And they were released between 1984 and 1994. Those are worth between $50 and $250.
Mm, that's a slow bugger all then.
No, yeah. But it goes up from there. I mean, there's a Little Mermaid one where the cover artwork was first released and then was later banned, making that version very rare. Mm. That is currently listed at $3,200 just for the one VHS.
Okay.
I'm
not going to go and raid the old boxes. I think we threw out all ours away.
Also, if it says Walt Disney's classic, there's a good chance that you can get up to $6,000 for that one. Right.
That's worth rummaging through the trash.
And it's all the titles that we know. 101 Dalmatians, The Great Mouse Detective, Sleeping Beauties, Lady and the Tramp. So, yeah, have a look and see. You might be sitting on a landmine.
All right, very good. Thank you, Leanne. All right. Look who's here. Jason Greer is here, the host of Bachelor SA. I'm thrilled that he's the host. He has done a lot of other shows before, by the way. He's done All Access on Mnet. He did Spellbound. He's also been the narrator on Mnet's wedding show, The Wedding Bashers, and plenty of other stuff. So we know him from TV. How are you, dude? It's nice to see you.
Nice to be back here. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm looking forward
to hearing what you guys want to say about The Bachelor.
Well, we're all
fans. Are you really?
I am.
No, we're all involved.
I've been listening.
Listen, we're all fans.
Yeah.
We're all part of Bachelor Nation.
Hashtag Bachelor Nation.
Yeah. Hashtag only two of us watched it last night.
Give us a break. We'll get there.
I only watched the first episode on Sunday when they
I can't watch live TV. I have to
But that's the
wait.
Thing with their generation is that they do watch it afterwards. No, Sierra and I'll watch it live still.
Yes, all right.
Ben, so you're trying to click your 20s.
So, Jason, you're the president of Bachelor Nation and you're the host of the show. When did you guys start recording this?
We started mid-October.
So is it all wrapped up?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you already know who the winning
people
girl
are hounding
is.
You in public, aren't they?
Oh. Yeah.
I think it's the funniest thing. It's not like, hey, hi, my name is whatever. It's just, so you can tell me who won.
Yeah,
that's like the first thing. No,
you can't do that.
Obviously,
that'll spoil everything.
To be honest with you, there's a lot of stuff that I was not privy to.
Yeah, but you also see the final show, and that's what people don't get about TV. You see the episode that we all watched, or that Ben and Sia watched last night. You see that, and you're surprised, like we are. You don't know what they keep in and what they throw out.
Definitely not. Well, take last night for example. There was a group date at Ellis Park, and so there was. In real life, we had recorded three different things that they had done. It was the Zorb ball, it was some running game, and I think some tackling was involved somewhere. Mm-hmm. But because of the time elements, we've only got 45 minutes to show. We had to cut a whole bunch of stuff out, so we only ended up showing the Zorb ball as a matter of interest.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff that's is taken out, yeah.
So which girl is the Zorb ball?
I thought that was a little petty to do. So
what did they do?
Each girl gets put into this inflatable bubble and they have to up and tackle each other and basically bounce off each other. That's some slightly sadistic thing.
The premise of this is this really is, and I know a lot of girls watch The Bachelor because it's like about true love and all that stuff, but the premise is really very male. It's all these women competing for a guy.
Well,
it's
every
dude's fantasy.
Then you've got The Bachelorette, so that's you know, it depends.
Well, who watches that? I mean, really?
Oh yeah, I watch that.
Bit of divorcee, Leanne Moll watches that. Watches that.
Did you watch the American ones?
Yeah, you for got sure. The job? So what we did was we actually based our format on the Australian one. Oh, so the Australian one's about, I think, into the sixth or seventh season.
Yeah,
and I think as many people would attest to, we are more similar to Australians than Americans.
Yeah, well, let's not dwell on that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, very quick. So,
can you imagine an Australian bachelor? Oi, you want a root?
No.
But on the first night, Charmaine challenges him to a root while Lucinda watches on.
But the one thing I noticed when I was in Australia is that the women are a whole lot more attractive than the men.
Really?
For the men, it's like cool to not look after yourself at all. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the latest bachelor, he was horrid.
Oh, no. Filthy. Oh,
he's a bizarre looking individual. I mean, he was a rugby player. Yeah, he was really an interesting looking guy.
All right, the honey badger.
But yes, that's him. But the first one that they did was, he's actually a good looking dude, good body.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And the lady that ended up with is also beautiful. So that was the first season.
Gareth likes this.
Honey badger, that's hilarious. All right, so.
Nick Cummings.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'll give it a go.
That is a very unattractive human being.
Just a mop of curly brown hair.
But he's just like,
he's got a thick neck.
Enormous guy.
Bulgy, buggy eyes.
Mustache. Yeah.
So how much of this?
National hero.
When you look at these girls, and I'm only getting into it now.
Sure, sure.
But I'm very keen to get into it. Mm. Don't get me wrong. So all these girls, 24 of them when you start.
Yeah.
And they've got this wild look in their eyes. Like they've got to make, this is their chance to make an impression. Mm. You can see some of them are at that. There's a certain age where girls are like, this is my last chance and I got to nail this down. I've got to impregnate myself.
You mean desperation?
Yeah, like the clock, she's ticking.
Yeah.
And you can see this look. There's this wild desperation, this fury in their eyes. I got to get 5 minutes with Lee.
And they eat through the young ones to get to him.
Oh, my God.
You're making them sound like feral animals.
Well, there's some ravenous uteri.
I got to tell you, I was very surprised with the amount of claws that came out of the last two episodes. Like, I wasn't really expecting our South African women, who are usually quite
demure.
Yeah, good word. To
use it in the next interview. You
sure, thank you. Their claws came out and they were no holds barred. I mean, even last night's episode, Tendiwe had no worries about calling Michelle out and saying that you're fake.
I was expecting it. I called it.
Sia did say there's going to be some bitchiness and there's going to be some fighting. But do you feel a bit sorry for these girls? Because really, it's such an artificial and awkward situation.
For me, I think the most bizarre part is when it gets to the rose ceremony at the end of the night. Mm. There are all these women standing up there hoping that they're going to get the rose, truly hoping they're going to get the rose.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a huge deal. So like when they don't get the rose.
Card,
yeah, exactly. So when they don't get the rose, I feel for them. I cannot tell you, the emotion and the tension at that point is awful.
Just, I want to stop you there. So how long do you film that rose ceremony for? Because we only see it as maybe 5-7 minutes. Mm. But when you guys are filming, I reckon, because you have to do shots from different angles,
sure.
Then you tell the girls to get back there. So they're actually, They're not doing it in real time like we see it.
No, no, no.
How long does it take?
So I'll give you an example. So the very first episode we shot, it's actually shot over two nights.
Oh, God.
Reason being, because the actual walking down the red carpet and introducing themselves to Lee, that takes a good 4 or 5 hours.
Oh.
So the first lady that walks in has already been sitting in the cocktail area
for 2 days. No wonder they look so drunk.
It's 2 days. So emaciated and tired.
So that's why we get through
worn
that.
So
and
thirsty.
We shoot like... But that's the thing, we can only shoot like half an hour of the first night from a cocktail perspective.
Because some
of
these girls. I've been in this dress for 3 days.
You can't even breathe anymore.
My feet are killing me.
It's so unromantic.
And then, so then the second night we pick it up. So the first night we finish shooting at about 4 a.m. And then the second night we finish shooting at, I think, about 3 a.m.
Oh, my word.
And then the rose ceremonies get shorter and shorter because obviously there's not as many.
There's less checks.
Yeah. Correct.
But okay, but what do you, so you film the rose ceremony and then do these girls have to hang around or do you just get them out of there as quickly as possible?
With the ones that don't get a rose?
Yeah.
They, what you think and what you see on TV is what you see.
Accurate.
They say goodbye and they're out of there.
Walk the hell out of there.
Yeah, you don't see them again.
They put them in a bus.
A limo.
Jason, this is what I've always
put
thinking
them at the
though,
back of the bus.
As well, just watching it, how long does it take to film the entire show? Because if it's, you know, 2 days, you know, you meet Lee today and tomorrow you have to go on a date with him. You can't exactly say you're falling in love with the dude. You've only known him for a couple of hours.
Some people are like that.
Yeah, I think
there's real, like there's actual love that is that superficial. No, there is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, so in real life, last night's date would have been, I think, 4 days into shooting or 5 days into shooting where Lee went on a one-on-one with Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And so within those 5 days, they've seen Lee, they've met Lee. But then when you're all vying for his attention and suddenly you've got his attention all to yourself for an entire day, I think, and you want to be with this guy because, I mean, he's a good-looking dude, he's humble. I think those feelings can get generated quite quickly.
Yeah.
So I think to a certain degree it's – you'll see as the season goes on. You'll see what happens.
Do the girls also get to spend some time with Lee off camera?
No. That's
why'd you waste that? That would be footage.
Yeah, you see, that's
you
the thing.
Need that on camera. What if it goes really well or it goes really badly? Yeah. During that time, you're on them with seven cameras.
Yeah, everything needs to be recorded. Any conversation between him and a lady needs to be recorded.
So I was stressing when I watched the first episode. When it came to the rose ceremony, I was like,
"You were stressing.
How the hell is he going to remember their names?"
Good point.
So, is there an auto cue, or does someone whisper in his ear and say the names?
I think the first night is a bit tricky because there's 24 ladies that he needs to now remember.
Yeah.
There's a long deliberation period. Between the cocktail party and the rose ceremony. Now, the rose ceremony, of course, only happened the second night. So there was time for him to get to know the girls the first night and, of course, the second night as well. Mm. And then during that deliberation series, ceremony.
Whatever, yeah.
When he goes and sits by himself, he grabs the iPad and he goes through all 24 women. And then from there kind of decides who he wants to keep and who he wants to not give a rose to, offer a rose to. There was one or two instances where we kind of just had to pause it for a moment.
Like he needs a recap.
I don't think I think it would be inhuman for him to remember every single person's name.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There were one or two.
Especially the ones he's not interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some of them you can tell already.
Boy, you're in the blue.
Geraldine. No, sorry. Her name is Yazan.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing is like the pronunciation of some of their names as well. Like, Jazan, it's not Jazan, it's Yazan. Exactly like you said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Certain things like that, which you had to try and get right as well.
Mm-hmm.
You should do like a Bachelor Extra where you get her parents and you go, what the fuck were you thinking for that name?
You guys were talking about names the other day, actually.
So you're having fun, Jason, because this is a fun show to do, right? I mean, you've hosted a lot of shows before, and I was jokingly saying that they've never taken you seriously enough and put you on enough shows, but that's just because I like what you
Thank
do.
Thank you.
And with this one, you must be having a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's different from the other shows that I've done because it's usually I'm interviewing someone or I'm doing a link to camera, and that's pretty much where it goes.
Have you had any of the chicks hit on you is what I'm asking, because a lot of them must – you know what happens in a situation like this. A lot of girls will go, well, I'm not doing as well as this girl. with Lee. So I'm going to aim my affections at Jason.
Well, especially as Jason's like the wingman, so he consults with Lee on these things.
That's right.
So they
think you have power.
So they do. There were oftentimes.
And a lot of these girls are stupid. So they're going to look at you and go, oh, wow. if I can.
It's amazing how you didn't get this job that Jason
did. I would have been a terrible host.
These dumb.
Okay, listen, everyone clear out. Get out of the house.
Any sympathy when it came to the roast ceremony?
No, so do they approach you quietly off to the side? Because you know how during the filming of these things, there's always a lot of off-screen time. And, you know, you guys have to go and take a break and you have to freshen up and you have they reset the lights and all that shit. And then you've got time. And I'm sure some of these girls will see, here's my opportunity. Let me go and talk to Jason. You know, like we as guys, we'll make friends with the fat friend of a girl that we're into.
That's very funny.
It's true, though.
It, you know,
that's what guys do.
That's why I've got so many guy friends.
Oh, it's very funny. You've got a book out about that, eh, guys? Yeah. You should.
No, it's because of what you do.
I remember Leanne and I sword fighting once. What? Years ago.
Oh, sword fighting?
What? At a birthday party.
Oh.
Talking about them. Anyway,
don't move on so quickly. What you were sword fighting?
There was it was a birthday party years ago. I think it was at Movida, and you were
yes.
And we might have had one or two drinks,
or four, or nine. Who's counting?
It was right at the end. I think the lights were just about to come on, and suddenly up came these lightsabers, and we were pretending we were Star Wars.
Oh, how exciting. This is very romantic.
I'm so glad one of us remembers.
Welcome to the Bachelor Cliff Central. Jason, with a ring on his wedding finger, has now slipped it off and started gazing deep into Leanne's eyes.
Yeah, because you're married, so they don't know.
So here's the thing.
These girls don't know that. They haven't done any research. They pitch up on the show. It's all about them.
We were very...
Hi, Jason Greer. I've seen him before on TV.
I'll tell you what was weird is walking in the very first time I met them because I hadn't met them until that very first moment I walk in and they're
all
just
sitting. Did they think you were the bachelor?
There were a couple of, like this, and they all looked at each other, didn't quite know because they'd seen Lee, but they weren't expecting suddenly this host.
Oh, so they thought you might have been like,
they didn't know what
they got a good angle.
And I tell you, it was the most...
Who's this ugly guy?
It was the most bizarre feeling. And then suddenly they look at me, and then felt intimidated. That was bizarre. But they didn't quite know what to make of it. They didn't know who was the host.
I mean, look, you're also a good-looking dude. That's why you host the show. They can't have
a frog.
Yeah, you can't get Quasimodo to host the show and then Lee.
Or the Australian Bachelor.
The Honey Bachelor.
So back to the point. We were very well sort of chaperoned. In the beginning, I was actually told by one of the content producers that the ladies thought that I was rude because I never conversed with them. I never interacted with them because I wasn't allowed to.
Yes.
Purely because there needs to be that connection between Lee and the ladies, not me and the ladies. I've got to be that sort of... that figure of authority,
neutral.
I walk in and I tell you what's what, and I get out of there. So in the beginning, I was like completely. Oh, he's so rude, and he never talks to us. And I'm like, well, can't I not allow to? So that was the.
Did you
the
explain
feeling.
That to all of them? Did you call a little meeting?
The content producers did.
Okay.
So, but the thing is, it gets easier and easier as there are less ladies in the season. It gets easier to start getting to know them a bit better because it's not that the rules get a bit more relaxed, but everyone gets a bit more relaxed with how it works.
Why not have, instead of the rose ceremony when the girls who don't get the roses just walk out and get in the bus and leave, why don't we have a trap door? And then Lee can say, come up here, and then as they get halfway, they can pull a lever, and then the girls who he doesn't want can fall down the hole.
Like on Ellen's game, brilliant. Where she pulls the lever and they fall through the floor.
Wouldn't that be fun? Funny.
I don't remember reading about a trapdoor in a fairy tale. Can you keep the fairy tale alive?
There's always a witch. There's always a witch in a fairy tale or an evil stepmother or. You know, you need a bit of bad to make the good look good.
Jason.
I like that. That's very funny.
You like that?
I think that is very funny.
It's going to take
not great for the ladies' dignities, but
he'll take it back to the producers. Watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason knows good
season. There better be a second season, that's for sure.
Okay.
Do you think there'll be a second season or will they go The Bachelorette and alternate?
No, I think they'll have a second season of The Bachelor first. I think they need to solidify the format and the idea of the show in South Africa and then they'll move to
Bachelor. Before you can go variants.
Well, I mean, I think they also follow a lot what happened with the seas.
The Bachelorette.
Jesus, imagine. What? Me? What did you say?
I want to see you host one of these things.
It'll be horrible. I know, there's a reason I'm not on television.
If there was the last girl who didn't get the rose and Gareth didn't like her, he'd probably go, oh, thank goodness.
Good riddance.
That's got nothing to do with me. Don't drag me.
The Bachelor is actually quite – would make – I don't know if I'd enjoy it more or make me more nervous because there you're addressing a whole bunch of guys all vying for
which is very unnatural. No, mind you, that's more natural than a bunch of girls.
That's a night out.
So it's the men chasing
the ladies. That's pretty much any night out in any country.
See, I said this a little earlier this week, but part of what fascinates me with the show is the fact that these ladies are trying to be civil with each other, but at the same time, so competitive. Yeah. So last night, there was the first private date, and Kelly went on her own with Lee to Cape Town, and she comes back and she's now sharing details of the date with all the other ladies, and you can tell it's kind of like I'm happy for you, but screw you.
Your assassins. That's like Caesar going into the Senate and saying, guys, I'm standing right here. I'm particularly vulnerable on my right hand side if you were to have a knife. You know, it must be very awkward.
And these ladies are now living together. In a couple of rooms in that mansion. Obviously, there's not 24 rooms, but
they're quarantined.
Yeah,
yeah, very much.
So they're not allowed to talk to the outside world while they're in there. Wow, how long is that
for? No cell phones. So we shot for 2 months.
So they have to stop doing their work, all for the hope of Lee choosing them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's more than enough time for me to do some things. You got to just pour out their shampoo, put in a new liquid, have to just tamper with someone's toothbrush.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
And of course, maybe a bit, maybe too much info. But it gets to the point where, where apparently when ladies spend a lot of time together in the same room.
Their menstrual cycles clock in.
Exactly.
So, oh, my word.
At least one week where it's absolutely
so that kind of happens.
They sink.
That is a producer's dream. They're sitting there with a calendar like, one more day. One more day.
There's a lot to come. I'm looking forward to how it's going to turn out.
I'm very excited.
Now
let's play Ben's game. We've got a pool here that we're going to go.
Sorry if I messed up your game, Ben, by joining in.
I got through it. Okay. So there's 18 women left in The Bachelor currently as we see it on TV. So, there's 4 of us, 3 plus Leanne, 18. Gareth, you do the maths. There's 2 of us are going to get 4 contestants. 2 of us are going to get 5 contestants. Sierra and I are more involved, so we get 5 contestants.
All right. Okay.
You guys get 4.
That's fine.
So now you can reveal. I've given you all little names. It's now going to go onto a scoreboard.
I thought that we were going to get Jason to hand out the names, but all right. Jason can maybe comment on some of these girls. He knows them a little bit better.
So Jason can actually, what he does is as we put a name out, he'll give her a score out of 10.
They're all getting 10.
Okay, Gareth, who are you guys?
I got good ones. So I've actually got the pictures in front of me as well.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Everyone uses the link that I've sent them
as a reference. I've got Jazan. Remember her?
Jazan, yeah. Yeah, she's going soon.
She's such a lovely person.
She's strident. Really, she's very self-assured.
She's tall. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's not a bad-looking girl, this. Mm. But she's quite feisty. Like, I can see her elbowing another girl out of the way.
She's definitely, I think, part of a life of the party, I think, to a certain degree.
Oh.
And out of 10?
I ain't giving you scores, man.
You know, you can't rate them.
Let's trot on a bit here. We've got to get through all of them.
I got Kerry, not Kelly. I like that Kelly. She's very hot, but Kerry is a slightly. She's brunette, not as hot. She's brunette. Yeah.
Okay.
How do you even remember all these girls' names? You must have had a chart in your room.
A professional.
We did kind of.
Yeah. All right. I've got Gina, who I like very much. I know Gina. She's also a sweetheart. She's one of mine, and then Jenna. So I've got Gina, Jenna, Jazan, and Kerry.
Sure, you got lots of
Jazan.
You have
Gina, that's a good one.
Wow.
Oh, I just realized.
What?
I said, ooh, you've got lots of Jazz in there. Meaning the Jazz sound?
Just go.
I couldn't say J because Gina's with a G.
Clearly, it's a Friday. Get out of here.
That's a divorcee. Leanne drops a bombshell.
All right. So, okay. I'm happy about Jazan. I'm happy about Gina. Okay.
Leanne, who you got?
All right. I have Michelle R, which is Michelle Reddy.
She's the
belle of the ball in the yellow.
She was the first recipient of the rose.
Yes, that's right. I have Tenji Wei, who I like very much.
Yeah. She started the drama yesterday.
Yeah. She's feisty. I have America.
Yeah.
Moko.
America. And I have
muted response for her.
Natasha, who I love her surname. It's Hardcastle. So, but she's like completely odd.
You know what I like about her is that she's not afraid of calling herself out. On Twitter, they'll say, that scientist is weird as, you know. Yeah, and yeah. She's like, yep.
Yep, I'm weird. I'll claim it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just want to quickly chime in here and interrupt for a moment. We're going to go live to our polling, which tells us who's listening. There are no men listening to the show this morning. They've all given up completely. Oh, the testosterone levels have dropped off.
Whatever.
100%.
All right, Sia, who you got?
I have to just say no tea, no shade to the ladies. I don't have any of my favorites here. Chanel, firstly. Mm-hmm. She's the model from Joburg. Mm-hmm. Then there's Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. And Michelle Duplessis, she's the one with the big smile. Yeah. Nontombi, and then Annalene.
Oh, you've got a boring selection here, I'm afraid.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Okay, so we all got $100 in here.
How was this rigged, actually?
Rigged, you saw me right here.
Who audited these?
If I get your grubby hands in the Bachelor envelope that I've created, it'll take all day.
Kopinski and Kopinski right, Associates.
Okay, I have Shelley.
Yes.
Yeah. I have Edith. I think Edith's got a good
she's
chance.
She's cool. Mm. Like her.
Yeah. Mbali. I think she's going to go off quite soon though. She seems quite sulky.
Yeah. Social media girl.
Then there's Kim.
She's nice.
Mm-hmm. And then Kelly, cool. Who might be the favorite. So this could be the money card.
Wow. I think Kimberly got a lot of attention right in the beginning with her dress on the very first night.
Ah, yes.
She had like an almost see-through sort of lacy dress.
Do we get to see some titty? I mean, any of that?
Gareth.
It's 7 o'clock on a Thursday night.
Gareth.
Gareth, take your hands out from under the desk.
This is not Big Brother talking.
All that jizz in the beginning. All the jizz in the beginning.
And wipe that saliva off from your mouth. Do you know what I loved as well from last night? And this is when I truly knew, we've arrived in South Africa. You know, there was this beautiful scene. There was a group date and Lee says, ladies, let's take a dip in the pool. And one of the girls says, But she's like, I'm not going to ruin my hair. It was a black girl.
Yes, no, good for her.
I was quite surprised at how quickly everyone kind of latched onto Lee when he jumped into the pool. I thought we were quite a conservative.
These are thirsty girls.
Yeah, there was a bit of a moment. Lee says, and I think he's the instigator in all of this. While they're all in the pool, Lee says, ladies, it's a bit cold. Let's all huddle up for some body heat. A lot to look forward to.
Right, that sounds very much so.
Sounds like a weekend at Jason's house.
Sword fight.
Does your wife watch the show?
Yeah, she is actually more of a fan than I am from the beginning. I mean, she was trying to get me into the Bachelor America for years.
Oh, yeah?
It wasn't really ever my
scene. Do you watch it together?
Now we do.
Yeah. That's
and she comments about funny faces and stuff that I pull. Why did you say it like that? It's not about me, okay? Just watch The Bachelor for the girls and leave.
She's giving you you feedback.
Well, that's what she said. It's positive criticism.
Constructive criticism.
It can't be constructive criticism because it's already been wrapped up.
Yeah, you're not married to him.
No, it's already wrapped up. How's he going to change it?
They're going to do a live show at the end.
Oh, yes.
Right?
So
he's got to be tortured for how many episodes?
Well, there will be the Women Tell All...
Special
ooh. At the end of the season. I don't know if I'm looking forward to that or not, because when you've got how many ladies are going to be left there in the actual live setting? There's going to be claws, there's going to be issues, and I'm going to have to step in and try and break them apart. So I'm not too sure how I feel about it yet. But it's we'll see.
And then without revealing too much, where like all of the ladies on our back. Working their normal
normal routines now.
So even if the end of the season results in an engagement or not, the possible engaged lady and Lee aren't living together right now.
No.
Oh, hang a second. Does he have to graze a knee at the end? Is that part of the plan?
Well, it's like not part of the plan. No, it's not. He's not under obligation or contractual obligation to propose.
It's not social engineering.
Yeah. So, the idea is for him to. Ideally,
this is not Stalinist Russia. You will marry her. Yes. Got to choose from one of these.
It's not a planned thing. The idea is for him to fall in love with someone and want to continue this journey with someone. Whether it happens or not is,
how many of the bachelors in America or Australia or anywhere else, how many of them end up in like proper long-term relationships.
So I think there's
a small percentage.
A small percentage, yeah. Mm. I mean, there's 20-odd seasons in America. Mm. I think maybe two are together still. And the Australian one, the Australian one's interesting. There's only been 6 seasons and 2 are still together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the very first season of The Bachelor Australia, they're still together. Yeah. And that's now 6 years down the line. And 2 years ago, I think they got married recently and just had a kid. So okay. They're still together.
So
as
it
well.
Is possible.
It is possible. But then there's also the possibility, like they did in the American one a couple of seasons ago, where he had chosen one person, and at the Women Tell All episode, he kind of went down and said, I actually don't want to be with you. I want to be with her. So that's the kind of thing that can happen as well. Because these guys are watching the season back again. They don't really remember what's happened. So while watching the season,
yeah, Lee called you and said, I shouldn't have let that one go. I should have kept this one.
We speak fairly often. Okay. And he gets quite emotional when he watches these episodes back. He's actually flipping emotional. And he goes, jeez, I don't know if I handled that situation properly. I should have maybe handled it differently like this, or I should have said that maybe. But what's done is done.
Do you give him advice?
I do off camera. It's not so much on camera advice, but off camera we spoke quite a lot about how he was feeling and if he was making the right decisions, interest and all sorts of things.
Are you required to ask ridiculous questions of him and the girls when the content producer says to you, we need you to dig a little deeper here with this contestant or with Lee, and you need to find out how they really feel about this, and you have to go back and ask these awkward questions and then...
Unfortunately not. No. Okay. See, I mean,
that would
really
make it interesting.
That would have been. You see, my role, I think for the first season, they wanted to try and make it not as vanilla as possible, but
neutral.
Neutral.
You're the ringmaster.
Correct. So my involvement with the ladies was, well, there was no involvement really. And my involvement with Lee on camera was pretty much non-existent. I think they just wanted to see how the dynamics played between the ladies and Lee directly. Mm. Maybe in future seasons, I might be the shoulder to cry on if a lady's completely besides herself.
Yeah.
But for now,
I think you should get in there.
Quick stat. The Bachelor's been airing for 22 seasons now in America since 2002. Yeah. Only one couple from the show is still together. Wow. Meanwhile, out of 14 seasons of The Bachelorette, 6 of the couples are still together.
Mm. Oh, wow. Mm. It's more natural. That's what I was saying. The natural way is for a whole bunch of men to be going after one girl. And then the men have to compete and the girl chooses. Mm. That's how nature works. Mm. Females are the selectors. Yeah. And in nature, it's very unnatural for the guy to have 24 girls who are all thirsty for him. And then he has to choose.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. So we've all got our names. We'll publish the list on cliffcentral.com and you can maybe
Instagram
play
around. Accounts as well. You'll see it now.
So what happens here, Ben? We put in $100 and whoever the girl is, we get all the money.
Yeah, so whoever wins. Okay. So say, for instance, just say Jacqueline wins, then Sia gets $100. And then each week on a Friday, we'll be taking names off the sheet.
Sia will get $400.
I was going to say $100 each.
Yeah, of course.
Or $300.
$300.
Bloody stupid.
All right. It's always my favorite part of a Friday when George pops in. George Meany's here. We're going to do a quick look at the world of motoring and all the things associated with it. Hey, George, how are you?
Hey, good news. Gareth.
Are you part of Bachelor Nation?
No.
Okay. You have no interest.
That's the end of that thing.
Thanks, George.
Sorry, John.
Jason just...
Are you involved?
Jason involved. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
George is married.
So is your wife a fan? Say yes, great.
Yeah, no, I think she is. I'm not sure if she watches it, to be honest, but...
Well, you better ask her. Yeah, that's your prep for next
You know, when I walk into my house, channel 124 plays all the time. What time? What channel is this thing on?
What is 124?
Some of the numbers.
E-News. No, my wife's a,
she's a fan of the Kardashians.
My wife's a massive celebrity. She knows every celebrity and every singer. You cannot trump her with music.
Oh, really?
You can't.
Okay, well, that's got nothing to do with The Bachelor.
Yeah. So I know.
Absolutely.
But I would have thought there would have been a link of some sort.
Okay, so you get her onto The Bachelor and then she can join in our pool.
Okay.
All right. Very good. So, George, what's happening?
So, this gentleman, 72-year-old retired guy in the UK, he has been awarded... hundreds of pounds. I don't think he expected hundreds of pounds, but a judge awarded him hundreds of pounds because he sued Mercedes-Benz for having plastic in their leather in the seats of the car.
Pleather.
Well, there was there was some plastic or polyurethane in the leather that somebody had sent for testing, and Mercedes said, "Well, this isn't the case. It's we use some plastics for rigidity," but the judge saw it as.
What's this guy's problem? I mean, is he busy?
He's retired. He's got nothing better to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he wanted money.
Obviously wanted money. Obviously, but he was awarded the judgment, nonetheless. Got a couple of £100.
Okay. Well, enjoy your car while you've still got it, old man.
I think your car will
outlast you, especially that polyurethane.
Don't they go on pension at that age in the UK?
72.
Somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think it's a lot younger than that. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Very exciting. So. And old people complaining about their cars, that's a weekly situation.
It's probably a daily situation. But much more interesting, Audi has developed a piece of technology that on the dashboard of your car, between the two dials, with connected traffic lights, obviously in South Africa that's going to be in the next 30 years.
You can't even get us to work in Joburg. Exactly. When it rains, none of them work.
Imagine how this will be buggered if it rains. But... in a couple of states in America, this technology is already on the road. And what the car does is it predicts, using the traffic control system, the central traffic control system, it then tells you when that traffic light's going to turn red or green. And on the dash, it says there is 30 seconds before this traffic light will turn green. And then if you're approaching the traffic light,
I can imagine on the putting their foot down.
On the left-hand side, you'll see it says, drive at 25 miles an hour if you want to get through this at a green light.
Now, this is interesting because people like Leanne, who suffer from depression, when she sees three or four red lights in a row, she thinks the whole universe is conspired against her.
I cry. I literally cry.
She starts crying. So this is a way that she could avoid red lights because she would travel exactly the right speed to get green lights all the way.
All the way.
You know, some people, they think they're having the luckiest day when they go through five green lights in a row.
You can make it happen for yourself. No. Starts with you.
It starts with you. All the technology on your dash.
There's Audi's slogan.
It starts with you. All right, that's very clever of them.
It's very clever, and I thought that's useful. You know, some pieces of technology are just useless. That's very useful.
The traffic doesn't really play a role, though.
It does because of the connected cars and connected systems. The car predicts how fast you need to drive, including the traffic, to get through the traffic light.
So long as everyone's driving an Audi.
In the future, all cars will have it.
I would imagine it also works a little bit like Waze, where everyone's inputting into the system.
Yeah.
So it knows if you're going slowly that there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Or that there's some kind, there's a huge traffic buildup, or there's a light out or something.
Yeah. It's how Google predicts traffic, is because most phones on the road are Android.
Yeah.
And they know where you are.
They can read straight off of that.
Exactly.
You don't have to opt in.
No. Mm-hmm. So another piece of new technology is airbags on the outside of your car.
Ooh, very clever.
What's that for? The would-be hijackers?
No.
To protect them?
Might be good use in South Africa, though.
I mean, I'd like to set off some of those sometimes. You know, when those guys come up to you, the traffic lights, and they're trying to sell you some shit.
Or wash your windscreen.
Wash your windscreen. Pow!
Imagine.
That's what you get, those flamethrowers on the side of the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is actually technology like that.
I know. I've seen it. I want it. I want it badly. All right. So what are these for?
So these are in an attempt to protect the inside of the car by spreading the impact on the outside of the car.
That's very clever.
And it has LiDAR and camera sensors that in 100 milliseconds can deploy this airbag.
That's amazing.
Brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely
I like that. That would obviously cause less damage to you wouldn't need so much panel beating after an accident and all that kind of thing because you would do less damage to the outside.
You've got a big marshmallow on the side of your car.
Exactly, exactly. And then finally, you'd like this one, Gareth. Somebody tweeted Elon Musk and said, can you please put some technology in your car that helps us protect our animals?
Oh.
And Elon Musk immediately tweeted back and just said yes.
Okay.
And a couple of months later now, they have a dog mode inside the Tesla, which on the screen says, my owner will be back shortly and the temperature inside this car is X degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Very good.
So that people don't go and smash a window thinking that the dog is in trouble.
Exactly.
Talking about car technology, I got the Discovery Insure app and...
Oh, that thing monitors the hell out of you.
I'm just very depressed now because I haven't had a single good streak of driving.
So you
I'm
drive.
Either braking or using my phone or
But that thing's
cornering
like
too sharply.
Listen, I've got to say that app is like a Nazi. It's
I have to stop the notifications because I don't have any self-worth.
If you brake very quickly, it just deletes points and you end up in trouble and you're a bad driver. And
if you just look at a message.
Mother Teresa couldn't get all green on that thing.
Well, I haven't even tried it.
Well, there we go. Thanks, Leanne. Thanks very much to everybody. Thank you, George. Nice to see you, Jason.
Thanks, and you.
We're gonna have you
Thank
back you in much. Here later on. I think we need to do another Bachelor Nation meeting.
No, I'm gonna go watch
official
it.
Bachelor Nation board meeting. You have to. Yeah. You could have been the Bachelor if you weren't married.
Yeah. Well, think that's the interesting thing. You know, they didn't do a
George is very successful. He's very good looking. He's got a tremendous business acumen. Those 24 girls would be as excited for him as they are for Lee. Trust me.
That he's married.
If my wife was on the show, yes.
Your wife was on the show, she would keep these other bitches at bay.
Yeah, there was no casting call for The Bachelor. Hey, they selected that bachelor out of a pool of guys that they had seen.
So how many guys did they go through before they found Lee?
I'm not sure. Not many. Not many.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd have thought they've had to mine pretty far and wide to find someone.
I think they kind of knew. There was obviously people talking within in the the selection process, and they kind of knew guys already out there. So they canvassed a couple of modeling agencies, and within moments, they kind of found a few guys who they then had to speak to, phone, do psychometric tests, send them to
psychometric tests.
Wow. Criminal checks.
Everything, like down to the T.
What are they looking for in the psychometrics?
You know, he's not a psychopath.
Well, exactly, past relationships, how he'd handle emotions, how he would handle the situations that he would find himself in. It's always difficult to say until you've actually been in them, and I think that's what he found as well. It's a lot easier said than done, so when he's in those situations where he has to now not give a rose to someone or say something, it's really very difficult.
You're not meant to say to the girl, "You're not getting a rose." That wouldn't be good.
Not like your trapdoor scenario.
But there were like 3,000 women who applied to be on the show.
No, you're 3,000.
Yeah, that was the initial casting. 3,000.
Well, that's your theory out of the window.
Yeah,
about it being the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, but it's also they want to be on TV. There's also that.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing. It's like, did they go
help
on
my brand?
Yeah, did they go on to be famous or to find love? And I think in the beginning, they wanted some screen time, and it's fun and it's different. It's the first one in South Africa. Yeah. But then during the show, you'll see that it's funny, you see feelings up, they develop, it's bizarre.
Really?
Yeah.
I suppose it's also like in any of these shows, and you've done a lot of them, but you know these reality shows, you put people on an island together, they end up falling in love. They start off and they're like, I would not date one of these people. By the end of the show, people are all hooking up and banging each other's brains out, and it all gets very weird. Yeah. Humans, we're predisposed to be social. And it happens. You put people in a weird artificial situation like this, and they get super competitive with each other for the love of this one man. In their heads, a whole lot of funny things are going on. Some strange gears start clicking over. I'm very, That's very true. Interested. Let's watch this.
You'll see.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, two episodes down, we've got 10, 11 to go, including the Women Tell All. So this will end mid-May.
Okay, it's a long run. Yeah. It's almost as long as the Super Rugby.
Yeah. It's very similar this year.
Yeah, it's always this long.
Very similar. Jason, nice to see you. George, thanks very much. Ben, Leanne, and Sia and I will be back on Monday, and have a good weekend. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you.
Unnews?
Oh, God, yeah, we've got to do the unnews. Aren't we lucky?
Jeez, Ben, just in time. How long were you going to wait before you stepped in and stopped it?
Ben's like one of those chicks with the batch that goes, was I meant to spend time with Lee? Ben would be really useless on The Bachelor if he was a girl taking part in this thing. He wouldn't know what to do.
Says the guy just forgot something. I know exactly what I'm doing here.
All right. Well, I don't know what's going on here. My email's not
working. You just killed the VARP.
I demolished the VARP. What's happening with have you guys got internet problems or is it just me?
No, it's just you.
I'm serious. It's not working. Let me try this again. Hang on. Everybody, just wait a second, all right? Don't be so goddamned impatient.
Just grab my computer.
Oh, thanks very much.
Zero vibe. Whatever. Dead air.
Killed this. This is why I'm not the host.
George just walked away.
Very unprofessional.
Jason just trying not to laugh.
Jason's with us. He's never seen such slack behavior from any of us. All right. The Bachelor is gaining big momentum audience-wise in South Africa right now. Talks of the season, the second season already happening. Only this time there's pressure on the producers to have a black guy who's also a little older. Though still at the rumor stage, reports are that he's 76 years old, looking to start a music career, and lives in rural KwaZulu-Natal. The aftershocks on the latest budget speech are taking effect in daily life. Batabile Dlamini in particular is upset with the increase in sin taxes. She knows the open ANC bar is about to dry up for her, and with the amount of booze she needs each week, these rising costs could literally cripple her. And finally, Robbie Fleck is under massive pressure for his team to perform this weekend up against the Lions, so another loss looks likely. Asked whether he's feeling the pressure, he said, no, not at all. Win, loss, or draw, every team needs a fines master and someone to organize the booze on a Saturday, and he is the master of this. He's not going anywhere. All right, everybody, thank you so much. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your Friday, and you can email us, as you know, anytime you like, even over the weekends. We'll mostly ignore it until Monday, but you can still send it, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Very nice. All right, thank you.
This is cliffcentral.com.